You're listening to the New Hope Church podcast. To learn more about what we're doing on the south side of Indianapolis, you can check us out online at becomehope.com. If you like what you're hearing here, be sure you check out one of our companion podcasts. We have a daily devotional podcast called Let's Find Out Together, as well as an apologetics podcast called Salty Saints. Let's listen in. Today's talk comes from Zach Killey.
Good morning. My name is Zach, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Hope. And today, we're starting this new series, We the Church. Jason told you a little bit about it. But before we dive into kind of the bulk of what I want to talk about today, I want to start with a question. Have you ever thought much about last words? Like the last thing a person says before they die? Like, we even have a term for it. Like, we have, like, famous last words. Like, people say that, right? That's a thing. I think the reason for that is because they matter. The last things we say matter. And I think there's a couple ways of looking at this. Like, one, look at, like a person's will, right? Like, we have whole professions dedicated to making sure that wills get sorted out properly. I don't know if you've ever seen in movies or you've ever experienced it yourself, but, you know, sitting down and having somebody's will laid out so the family can carry out the wishes of the person, right? It's important. We know it's important. What about the way that final words, last words, let us see who a person is. Let us see into their heart. They let us see what's on their mind, right? They know they don't have much time left. And so generally, your last words, the last things you say, are going to be the most important things that you say. I got thinking about this. And I started going down a rabbit hole. And I started digging up some random famous last quotes, all right? Leonardo da Vinci. He said, "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have." Man, that's deep. It's kind of sad. Right there, I can tell you he was very hard on himself, that he expected a lot out of himself. I can also tell you that he felt that the work he was doing was for God and mankind, and that it had to be a certain caliber to justify being given to the people to honor God, right? It's an interesting thing. What about Socrates? This one's a little weird. "I owe Asclepius a rooster. Don't forget to pay the debt." Gotta tie up those loose ends, right? I don't want anybody saying I didn't pay my debts. I want to know that I was honorable. I want people to know that I took care of the things I said I'd take care of, right? Queen Elizabeth I, "All my possessions for a moment of time." She would have given away everything she had for just a little more time. It really shows the value of time, the value of life, especially coming from royalty like that, right? What about Groucho Marx? This one was just fun. He said, "This is no way to live." Come on. Come on. That's pretty good. Harriet Tubman. "Give my love to the churches, tell the women to stand firm, I go to prepare a place for you." Thinking about Jesus, she's thinking about the people she loves. Tells me a lot about Harriet Tubman right there. Famous last words matter. They tell us who a person is, what they're concerned with, what they want. How about this one? John 17, 20 through 26. Maybe not his last words, but this is really the last, like, good speech he gets in. The last good bulk of words that Jesus gets out, because he knows he's going to the cross very soon after this. "I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you've given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I've revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Last words matter. And what's Jesus doing with his last words? Well, he's praying, and he's praying for you and me. For everyone who will ever believe the message of these disciples. That's us, y'all. He's praying for you and me. That's what he's doing with his last big speech he's going to get to give. His last prayer he's going to get to give before he is hanging on a cross. That's what he's doing with it. So why are we talking about that today? Why does that fit into this? Because that is the foundation for the We the Church initiative. That is what this whole thing is built on. And it's got to be addressed because here's what's going to happen over the next few weeks. I'm not going to be here preaching. Randy's not going to be preaching. And Jason's not going to be preaching. And Bob's not going to be preaching. Who's going to be preaching? Pastors from all over this community. And I'm going to be in their churches, preaching at their churches. Because we wanted to put our money where our mouth is and actually show that this is real, that we want to stand together. Why? Because we want to mobilize God's people. We want every person in every congregation to recognize themselves as an ambassador to the one true God to spread good wherever they go, to spread his message, his gospel, his truth wherever they go. That's where they work, where they play, where they live, where they shop, right? Go out into the world and do this. Why? So we can saturate North America with the gospel of Jesus Christ to the point that every man, woman, and child has had multiple opportunities to hear the gospel. I know that sounds crazy, but there are people in this world that even if they think they've heard the gospel, they probably haven't actually heard the real version. They've probably heard some watered down straw man version of the gospel. That is so many people in this world that you know. And we want to make sure those people have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. With all that said, I want to break down what Jesus has to say in this prayer to show you just what I mean by this, what this looks like. So let's start breaking it down. First, he says, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. So Jesus wants all people to believe in him, and to know that God sent him. Why? Why does that matter? Why is that so important? Well, here's the deal. It gets down to the heart of the issue, right? The issue is people are sinners. People need Christ to save them from themselves, to save them from the debt that they owe God, which is their own life. An eternity of separation from God. Jesus has paid that. He's the answer. He's the solution, right? But why do they need to know him? Why do they need to know who he is? Why do they need to know that he came from the Father? Here's the deal. There's lots of people that would confess Jesus, right? We've talked about this before. There are cult groups in this world that confess Jesus. The Mormons have Jesus. The Jehovah's Witness has Jesus, but they take away his deity. He's not God, or everybody's God, right? They water it all down. What does the Muslim do? Well, yeah, Jesus is good. He's a prophet. We love him, but he's just a prophet. He's just a man. They take away his deity. And so to put your faith in that, Jesus can't save you, right? So then why is he making it so clear right now that they have to know that he came from the Father? Well, this is the God of the Jews. He's saying, I came from that God. This is my Father. This is who I am. And if that's the case, then you should probably trust the prophets he'd sent. You should probably trust his scriptures, right? Jesus is making a claim that Christianity, that the books that the Jews have been reading, this is the truth, right? This is the real scriptures. If you want to know who I am, if you want to follow me, then listen to the people that are listening to what I'm saying. And look at the Jewish scriptures. This is going to point you to the truth. He's giving you a direction. Right? What else, though? It's not just about head knowledge, right? The Bible tells us that, you know, even the demons in hell, they believe in God, but they tremble in fear, right? So what is it? What else are we supposed to pick up here? To know that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. He literally said that in the prayer. That they would know that you love them as much as you love me. Wrap your head around that. Have you ever stopped and considered that? I've read that a million times. I don't know that I've genuinely ever sat down and thought, God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. But Jesus says it right there. The God that would raise his own son from death to life, that he wants the same for you and anyone who would come to him and put their faith in him. That he loves you as much as his only son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten, his only unique, right? That's huge. That's the kind of love that changes hearts. The second thing Jesus says, he says, I will pray that they will all be one. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. Jesus prayed that we would be unified around what? Around knowing him. See, when you unify around something, you don't just unify to unify. You don't just come together, join together for no reason. Nobody does that. You have to have a common cause. You have to have something that binds you. And right here, Jesus is saying, it's him. It's knowing him, right? It's knowing the Father that sent him and knowing him. And it's not just this coming together in this like, yeah, we're together. We go to church together. Yeah, oh yeah, they're my neighbor. Yeah, I know them. Yeah. Oh yeah, I've talked to them once or twice. Like, it's not what he's saying. He's talking about this like in almost like Trinitarian language here. Like, I want them to be one as you and I are one. Well, wait, what do we know about Jesus and God? What do we know about the Trinity? Come on, anybody? They're one God. It's one God, right? It's three persons, one God. Three separate existing persons who in essence are one God. And Jesus is saying, just like that is, just like we exist as one Father, I want them to be together with each other. I want them to be one with one another. And I want them to be one with us, Father. I want us all to be one. I want to be in them and you in me. And then they're going to live that out because I'm living in them and they are connected with one another. Why does he do this? Why does he unify us? And how does he unify us, right? It's around the idea that we are all going to be this one collective thing, this one amalgamous thing. I was thinking about this with my like junk drawer, right? Does anybody have that junk drawer where all the cables get thrown? Have you ever tried to untangle it? Like that. Like that, but more unified than that, right? He goes on and he says, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. So why is he sending us out? Why does he want us to be unified so that the world will believe? This is the if then, right? If they are unified, if they are together, if they are one, just as we are one, then what? Then the world may believe. The world may come to know me, Jesus, right? They may come to know Jesus. They may come to know the Father. It's through the unity of God's people. Jesus is going to die very soon, and this is the prayer that he is choosing to pray. He wants us to unify around the one church and the one mission. Unify. He wants everyone to know Jesus and to unify as one church. So what is our job in all this? What are we supposed to do? Right? It's clear. I get it. Okay, we unify. That's great. Well, we come to church. Like we do that. That's good. What does this look like? He wants us to put the glory of God on display, and he wants to take the gospel out into the whole world, right? He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, so they may be one as we are one, right? Well, wait a minute, Zach, that sounds hard. That sounds like really joining together, really locking arms and coming together, like being like one, like, this is like marriage language, right? Like two people become one flesh. That sounds hard. I don't know how many of you are married. I've been married for a little over a year, and it's kind of hard sometimes. Being one is hard. Being unified is hard because we want so badly to be individuals, to be ourselves. Our whole culture is pushing that on us, that you're you. It's about you. It's about your feelings and what you want. And Jesus is saying, no, I want you to be about one another. Come together. It's not about you. It's about us, right? It's hard. So is it even doable? Let me read this again. I have given them the glory that you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. The glory, the heaviness of God, the weightiness of God, the substance of God, the power of God. Christ has put that in us through his Holy Spirit. And he is saying, you have everything you need. I gave you the glory that my Father gave me, so you can now be one. We already have everything we need. There's not some special thing we're waiting for. There's not some special revelation. There's not some new amount of scripture that I need to read or intake for me to possibly be able to unify with my brothers and sisters. It's in us already. He's given it to us. It's him. He is the power in us. We have everything we need to do this. So how do we take it into the world? How do we go out and be this thing that we're being called to by Jesus? Let me tell you this. Do you know how much time I've poured into apologetics of trying to have good arguments for Christianity? I've got them, dude. I can throw them at you till I'm blue in the face. I can lay out every scientific argument on why you need to believe in Jesus. I can tell you why with great reasoning. And do you know how many times that doesn't work? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like it just doesn't even matter. It's not through a fancy argument. Okay? It's not through standing out on a street corner and handing somebody a pamphlet and saying, hey, check it out, read that, then you'll be saved, you know? It's not through a new app. It's not through the Bible app. It's not through telling somebody they need to just go download this app and then they'll get to know Jesus and it'll all be perfect. It's not through better sermons. It's not through what you say to a crowd that's really just gonna change their hearts, right? It can light a fire under us. It can be good, but it doesn't save the day. It's not about a new or fancier program, all right? It's not about quoting more scripture. It's not about just knowing how to tell somebody about any verse or chapter on a dime. It's not about that. Let me ask you a question. What if it's exactly what Jesus is saying it is? What if it's exactly what that prayer says? What if the thing that actually starts to change the world, the thing that starts to get these cogs rolling, that starts to unify and that starts to get people's hearts changing and hearing about Jesus, what if it's actually the churches of this world joining together hand in hand and unifying? Like, what if Jesus is just right here? What if it's about him? What if it's all about his church? What if it's all about his mission? Notice, nowhere in that prayer does he say, and then I pray for all the individual churches, and I pray for all the individual groups, and I pray for... No. That's not the language. That's not it at all. It's about them. It's the believers as one, unified, hand in hand. That's what changes the world. What if it's not an us versus them mentality? How much time do we spend looking at other denominations and picking them apart? I know I do. I do, because I think I'm right, because I'm a person. And I bet you do too. And we look at the denominations around us. We look at the other believers that are teaching totally scriptural, biblical stuff. And then we'll find something stupid to divide over. And we will let that tear up all that unity, all that momentum. We'll set it aside over something secondary. What if it's not us versus them? What if it's unity? What if it's togetherness? What if it's being so tangled up in each other, so one, that when people look at the churches in Greenwood, Indiana, they go, I don't know where one stops and the other ends, because they're unified. They have a unified central front. They have a one mission mindset. They know each other. They love each other. Scripture tells us they will know you by your love for one another. When's the last time you walked into a room and that just dawned on you? You're like, oh man, I feel it. Every once in a while, but not often enough, right? For too long, we've been little individual castles worrying about butts in seats, how to pay our bills, how to bring in enough money, how to make sure that we are doing enough. What if that wasn't our mindset? What if that's not how we thought about church? What if we weren't a church that was about New Hope? What if we were about the church? The church. Jesus says, you want to find your life? You want to know who you are? Forget about you. Lose yourself. Stop considering yourself first. You put everyone else first. That's where you find you. What if it's the same for churches? What if I look around me and I see these other churches and I think, how can I help them? What are they doing? And what if they were doing the same for us? And we were all just pouring into each other and helping this mission move forward. That's what Jesus wants. That's what he's asked for. When that happens, that's when the world comes to know Christ. Here's the deal. Some of you are sitting here like, okay. You're very skeptical. I get it. I do. I totally get it. I've been burned by the church. Maybe you've been burned by a local church. Maybe you've been burned by a denomination, right? Maybe that's where the problem lies. Maybe you're sitting here going, dude, I don't have time to think about unifying the church. I can't get my own household in order. I can't get my own self in order. I don't feel close to God, right? Let me ask you this. What if even down to the most difficult problems, even down to the most personalized issues in your life, right? Your own friends, your own family, your own problems that you're trying to sort through. What if fixing those things starts with actual, true, transparent unity Not just with other churches, but with all believers, with the brothers and sisters in this room, with the people sitting an aisle across from you right now. How many people in this room are actually, I'm not asking for a show of hands, don't do that to yourself, actually in community with other believers right now? How many of you are laying your burdens on one another? Let me tell you this. Let's get out of church mind for a second. If we go business world, if we look at big fancy conventions that they hold, where they send, like, where businesses will send all these people to go learn from like keynote speakers and stuff, what generally happens? A lot of you are business people. You go sit in this keynote thing. You get really inspired. You're on fire for 2 weeks. You get back to work. You get back into the daily grind of things, and it all falls apart because people don't change based on keynote speeches. People change based on one-on-one, small groups working together with families, the people around them, their neighbors. It's about relationship. It's about unity. That's how we change. It's about opening up my life to another person's life and saying, I need you to help me. How can I help you? And that's all we're saying we need to do with one another and with brothers and sisters outside the walls of New Hope Church. When that happens, that's when this machine starts rolling. That's when things really start to change. I would also say this to the skeptic. If it weren't possible, Jesus wouldn't be praying it so adamantly, with so much detail on the plan of how it's actually going to happen, right? He's got it all laid out. He sees what needs to happen. Father, if they'll just do this because you're in me, you know, and I'm in them, then they can go out and they can be unified. Then everyone can know me. Everyone can be saved, Lord. They can hear this message. Jesus sees the picture. He wouldn't be praying this if it wasn't possible. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you've been excited about something like this. Maybe you felt this like something's been off. Right? We need more unity. Maybe that's been hurting in you and you've been praying for this forever and you're stoked. You're excited right now. Stay stoked. Stay excited. We need you. We need you. We need your help. We need your love for your neighbors, for your community. Regardless of where you stand on all of this, if you're skeptical or you're excited, whatever, I get it. I just want you to consider this. What if you and me actually became the answer to this prayer of Jesus's? What if our lives, yours and mine, as individuals and together, right? What if that is the answer to Jesus's prayer? What if unity can actually happen? What if it's a reality? What if we conspired? And I don't mean like a conspiracy theory where it's like not real. I don't mean that. I mean, what if we came together and we made a plan to link arms and go out into our world, into the places that I work, the places that I play, my own home, and I spread the gospel? What if we actually did that for the purpose of seeing the world come to faith in Jesus as their rescuer? What if we started to look at our homes and our workplaces, the places that we play, and we just ask the simple question, God, how can I give you glory here? God, how can I give you glory right here where I'm at already? How can I give you glory there? How can I make sure that the truth of the gospel is being lived out right here where I am, where I work, where I play, where I live? How can I do that, Lord? Bringing others to faith in Jesus is the most invigorating thing that we can do for our faith. It is the most edifying, beautiful thing we as believers can do, is to share the hope of Jesus Christ with those that don't have it. Even if it's our own families and our own friends, the people around us, when we lead that example, when we live out who He is, and we show them and it clicks, that is the greatest thing we can do. But that only happens when we unify. That only happens when we come together as the body of Christ, the church with the mission, spreading the gospel. That's what this is all about. I hope you will consider that. I hope that you will let this excite you. I hope you will look forward to working with our brothers and sisters in Christ, not just in Greenwood, but everywhere. We are more connected now as a people than we've ever been in history. You can talk to somebody on the other side of the world right now with your cell phone or the internet. There are no excuses why we aren't doing a better job of playing nice together. We can do it. And it's happening, guys. It's happening right now, today, in churches all across this city. And it's happening in other cities all across these states year round. We're just jumping in on the mission. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that you would help us see past what's right in front of us. I pray that you would give us Jesus' eyes, that he's not just praying this prayer whimsically, that he has a plan, that he sees the big picture, Lord. Help us see it. Help us see that, yeah, it's big picture. It's going out into the world, and it's saving the lost. It's saving people that don't know Jesus. It's talking to strangers, maybe. And at the exact same time, it's talking with our kids. It's talking with our brothers and sisters. It's talking with our moms and dads. It's talking with our best friends about Jesus. It's the whole picture, Lord. I thank you that you've already equipped us for this through your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you've removed any excuses from us on why this shouldn't be or couldn't be. Jesus lays it out so concisely and so perfectly, and I thank you for that. I just pray that we can honor you with our lives, that we can give you all the glory, and that we can spread your gospel message, and that we can link arms hand in hand with our brothers and sisters to make sure that nobody can say that they don't know you, that they've never been able to know you, that they've never heard of you, that they haven't had that opportunity. We want to give that opportunity to everyone, Jesus. So please help us to do that. Give us your eyes. Give us your heart. Let our hearts break for what breaks yours, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Hope Church podcast. If you would do us a favor and like or subscribe on your favorite platform, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you happen to have any questions, feel free to reach out to us at questions@becomehope.com. Have a great week, and know that we are praying for you as you seek to be Jesus in every corner of your world.